Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And many others like Sukadeva Goswami and other purified souls, Kasyapa and Angirasa and others, all accompanied by their respective disciples, arrived there. That's a long purport, so please bear with me. Sukadeva Goswami, Brahmarata, the famous son and disciple of Sri Vyasadeva, who taught him first the Mahabharata and then Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami recited 1,400,000 verses of the Mahabharata in the councils of the Gandharvas, Yakshas and Rakshasas. And he recited Srimad Bhagavatam for the first time in the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. He thoroughly studied all the Vedic literatures from his great father. Thus he was completely purified soul by dint of his extensive knowledge in the principles of religion. From Mahabharata Sabdaparva 4.11, it is understood that he was also present in the royal assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira and at the fasting of Maharaj Parikshit. As a bona fide disciple of Sri Vyasadeva, he inquired from his father very extensively about religious principles and spiritual values. And his great father also satisfied him by teaching him the yoga system by which one can attain the spiritual kingdom, the difference between fruitive work and empiric knowledge, the ways and means of attaining spiritual realization, the four ashrams, namely the student life, the household life, the retired life, and the renounced life, the sublime position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of seeing him eye to eye, the bona fide candidate for receiving knowledge, the consideration of the five elements, the unique position of intelligence, the consciousness of the material nature and the living entity, the symptoms of self-realized soul, the working principles of material body, the symptoms of influential modes of nature, the tree of perpetual desire and psychic activities. Sometimes he went to the sun planet with the permission of his father and Naradaji. Descriptions of his travel in space are given in the Shanti Parva of the Mahabharata 3.32. At last he attained the transcendental realm. He is known by different names like Aranyaka, Arunisutta, Vyasaki, and Vyasatmaja. Kasyapa, one of the Prajapatis, the son of Marichi, and one of the sons-in-law of Prajapati Daksha. He is the father of the gigantic bird Garuda, who was given serpents and tortoises as eatables. He married 13 daughters of Prajapati Daksha, and their names are Aditi, Diti, Danu, Kasta, Arista, Surasa, Ila, Muni, Krodavasha, Tamara, Surabhi, Sarama, and Timi. He begot many children, both demigods and demons, by those wives. From his first wife, Aditi, all the 12 Adityas were born. One of them is Vamana, the incarnation of God. This great sage, Kasyapa, was also present at the time of Arjuna's birth. He received a presentation of the old world from Parshuram, and later on he asked Parshuram to go out of the world. His other name is Aristanemi. He lives in the northern side of the universe. Angirasa. He is the son of Maharishi Angira and is known as Brihaspati, the priest of the demigods. It is said that Dronacharya was his partial incarnation. Sukracharya was the spiritual master of the demons, and Brihaspati challenged him. His son is Kacha, and he delivered the fire weapon first to Bharatavaj Muni. He begot 6 sons like the fire god by his wife Chandramasi, one of the reputed stars. He could travel in space, and therefore he could present himself even in the planets of Brahmaloka and Indraloka. He advised the king of heaven, Indra, about conquering the demons. Once he cursed Indra, who thus had to become a hog on earth and was unwilling to return to heaven. Such is the power of the attraction of illusory energy. Even a hog does not wish to part with its earthly possession in exchange for heavenly kingdom. He was the religious preceptor of the natives of different planets. Om Ajnanatim Randasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmalitanjena Tasmei Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Padita Nam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So, this text is about the passing away of Bhishma Dev, this chapter, and we can see how there's so many great souls coming to witness the passing away of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev wasn't an ordinary soul. At the time when he was announcing that he was going to be a celibate, he wasn't going to get married. That's a time where all the demigods, all the sages showered flowers upon him for his exaltedness. So here, although he was lying on a bed of arrows, he couldn't even pick a finger up. And he was graced by all the very, very elevated sages, demigods, just like when Parikrit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi to die within 7 days. He renounced his kingdom. He was very, very opulent king. He renounced his old kingdom to go and sit on the banks of the Ganges in meditation for the 7 days. So at that point as well, all the sages, all the demigods visited him. And, so because great sages, they have also performed great austerities to achieve the position that they have. So they are eagerly waiting to help others in the same way, to pass in the same way. So they do everything in their power to help devotees to pass away. So therefore, when someone passes away, even within the community, we try our best to surround them with like kirtans, chanting the holy names, Ganges, what we do, all sorts of things, so the destination is, they fulfill their goal. So yeah, we can see how Bhishma is so fortunate, so very fortunate to have all these exalted personalities coming. And these were not ordinary. Some would fly over, some would float, some would, they had so much mystic powers. And they were all loved by the Supreme Lord. They came to see the Lord as well, because the Lord was personally present there. So, but they had so much love, so much affection for Bhishma that they all came. And Prabhupada is giving all the names of these personalities. You can imagine how important they are for blessings. Actually, everyone is looking for blessings. In the first canto, the first canto explains how to respect, sages, how to respect elevated personalities and the demigods. But this this is coming from our culture. The culture is how to welcome elevated person, anyone actually, any guest that comes to one's house, how to accept them. Uninvited, uninvited guests are called atiti. They might come to your door, but you respect them and you welcome them. You don't make them feel uncomfortable, you know, because they came unannounced. So we always respect that and we make them feel comfortable. At least give them a seat or a glass of water, if anything else. But it's a little different in the West. I noticed from coming from an Indian background, this is how we were brought up. Our doors are open anytime people can walk in and walk out, you know, even though they're uninvited. Even in the middle of having a meal, someone walks in into the house, you pull a chair and you invite the person to sit down. But the Western culture is a little different. You have to be invited for, you know, a function or whatever it is. And if you go uninvited to a function, then it becomes very awkward and difficult because there's no seat for you, you know, like that. So, yeah, this Vaishnava culture is originally coming from Krishna, from the Vedic literatures. So we're practicing that. And but if we follow this culture all the way through, then we attain, you know, that goal that we look for, you're aspiring for, going back home, back to Godhead. So the transition of the soul needs blessings. You know, when we leave our body, we need the blessings of the devotees so we can detach ourselves from material things and spiritual things. We might be living in the temple in a comfortable situation, don't want to leave our comfortable position. It might appear to be spiritual, but still, we need to leave everything behind, no matter how much money or what wealth we have. And there's two kind of transition we go through, from body to body, and then from soul to soul, where you go back home, back to the kingdom of God. But we don't want to go from body to body. That's the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. So this is our practicing, a reminder for the parting soul. Hence, we need the blessing. We need devotees to see us off in this direction. So here, Bhishmadev is getting all this. He's there. The Supreme Lord is there. All the demigods, all the sages are all there to, you know, see him off. So it's very, very difficult to concentrate or meditate on the mind, on Krishna at the time of death, because the body is giving so many different difficulties and you lose your concentration. So, but the prayer of devotees is very powerful. And I was listening to some classes where Prabhupada says, even though there's some material desires on this path at the time of death, then all this is overlooked, like in the case of Ajamil. You know, he had so many different desires, but at the time of death, because he called his son Narayan, even though he called his son, but whether it's explained that whether you glorify the name of God inimically or favorably, you still get benefit. So like this, you know, we try to remember Krishna. But in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, we notice we get very excited. Everything is so new. Normally when we're living outside the temple and we find out about Krishna consciousness, we become very fanatical and very enthusiastic. We may rise, you know, 2-3 in the morning, chanting around. And when we come to the temple, we become overly enthusiastic. We cannot contain ourselves with the ecstasy we have in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. But as time goes by, in our later stages, then what happened? The mentality changes. And this, we get a taste in the beginning, but in later life, we find the routine becomes too much for us. Every day rising, you know, going to the morning performing the routine activities, it becomes too much. And then the false ego comes in place. You know, why should I be doing this? I don't have to rise early in the morning. I don't have to, you know, do all these regulators. I can just chant. So we get a little lapsidaisical and we kind of cut corners in one sense. And this is where our trouble starts, you know, our devotional creeper. I was listening to a beautiful class the other day by Prabhupada and memories, but exactly where it was, where it explains that the more you engage in material activities for sense gratification, slowly your spiritual life flows away like a river, you know. And then the more the spiritual side flows away, the more material. And this is like unconsciously it happens because it's so subtle, you know. The more you engage in spiritual activities, then materialized fade away in the background. But the more you engage in sense gratification for the self, unknowingly you may be doing that, but your spiritual life, your spiritual kind of practices diminishes slowly. And that is very, you know, sad for one that is practicing for a long period of time when you're not conscious that this is actually happening. So we have to value regulation. It's very, very important to value regulation. From this, well, Krishna gives the, you know, the different varnas and the ashrams so we can have this regulation in place. So to value, I mean, there might be difficulties on this path, but regulation should always be there. It's an austerity, but austerity is the wealth of a Brahmin, so we have to practice. And Prabhupada says, if we continue practice, this practice becomes a habit. And from habit, it becomes second nature. Then, like when you're rising in the morning, if you rise a particular time, then it becomes automatic pilot. You can't sleep anymore a certain time. You just wake up. You know, you don't have to look at your clock. It's like that. Your body is like automatic pilot. It becomes like clockwork. So, like that. It might be difficult, but somehow we have to overcome these little things. So, how to purify oneself is by constant meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his activities, his pastime, his form, his quality. If we constantly think of these things, then whatever troubles them in the heart, whatever impurities there is in the heart, slowly, slowly, slowly it becomes eradicated. These things take time. Sometimes we get impatient. We want results straight away. But somehow we need to have that patience. Patience is virtue. Like Bali Maharaj, the example, there's the example of Bali Maharaj. When he saw Vamanadeva from a distance coming, Vamanadeva was so beautiful. He appreciated Vamanadeva's beauty so much. And he understood that this yajna was going to be successful by just looking at the beauty. And yes, it was successful because he got the Supreme Lord's foot on his head. So that is very exalted position. So we should actually have an eagerness for the mercy of exalted person. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, it emphasizes, it stresses about hearing, how one should be hearing from great sages, great, you know, personalities who can impart knowledge because they satisfied, they completely satisfied from understanding the truth from the Vedas. And therefore they want to impart it to others. And this is how we get purity of heart, by listening and, you know, thinking about the activities of the Lord by hearing like this. So just want to talk about Lord Indra. Lord Indra was the king of heaven, but his Brihaspati was his priest. And King Indra, like the attachment, this is about attachment, how even King Indra, although he was cursed by the priest Brihaspati, still he was cursed to become a hog. And And still, he was attached to becoming odd. Lord Brahma said to him, your 10 years have expired as a hog. Now it's time for you to, you know, take back your position as the king. So he says, no, I'm attached to my, you know, this environment here with all my little piglets and my mud hut, you know, like that. So Prabhupada explains that even, you know, animals or human beings, whoever the case may be, they get attached to their comforts, to their old little surroundings. So this attachment, we should understand, is temporary, especially in this material. All attachments we have is temporary material. And so in order to understand this very clearly, we have to receive saintly persons with an open mind, with a receptive hearing, and understanding of the nature of the difference between material and spiritual. So Kasyapa Muni is also mentioned at the end. So Kasyapa Kasyapa Muni is the story of, he was married to Diti, and the funny story there about Kasyapa, whereby his wife was enticing him to beget a child at the wrong time, and he was reluctant because he knew inauspicious time meant inauspicious progeny. So he said, this is not auspicious time, he told his wife. But his wife was insistent that she wanted to have a child. And so Kasyapa Muni, Diti's younger sister was married to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva knew somehow that Kasyapa Muni and Diti were, Kasyapa Muni told his wife that Lord Shiva is around, and if he sees people are trying to conceive at inauspicious time, he's going to put Buddhas, ghostly, you know, people, give ghostly elements a chance to take birth in the material world or impersonalists. So he explained this to his wife, but his wife, normally sometimes wives are very stubborn, they don't listen to their husbands. So she insisted that she wanted to have a child. And, of course, the husband, very, very kind to his wife, he submits. So, anyway, that's... But even though Kasyapa Muni told his wife, Lord Shiva is three... She said, okay, it can be a private thing. This conception can be a private thing. But he said, Lord Shiva got three eyes. He can see everything. The eye between his two eyebrows is like fire, so he can see, but still, you know, the union took place. So Brihaspati was also the priest of Vasudev, and Brihaspati was present at the birth of Arjuna. So during the ceremony of Arjuna also, there were all these sages, the demigods, all also were present. And Brihaspati was the leader of the priests, and he was asked to give blessings to Arjuna when he took his birth. I think I'll stop there for discussion if anyone wants to add anything or have anything in mind to talk about.